everyone, and welcome to another week of the podcast. This week, I want to do something unusual and just step back and acknowledge that the news this week has been very challenging, heartbreaking, and frankly, for me, devastating. What's happened in Lahaina and Maui is beyond my understanding, and the stories that are coming out of survival, of devastation and triumph, they've just kind of rocked my world this week. And so I'd love for all of us, each of my listeners, to take a step back, hold all of those people, those animals, the plants and the trees, hold them in our hearts, and send blessings and prayers to those who lost their lives, but those who are trying to rebuild now after the catastrophe that's happened there. And with that, I thank you. And that brings us to another episode of the podcast. This week, I interview Inez Marical, otherwise known as Starbird. She has an interesting story, and one of the things that really resonated with me, because I am so much like her, throughout the magic that showed up in her life, she's kind of demanded proof. She comes from such an interesting lineage. Her mother is French, while her father grew up in Venezuela and has indigenous blood in his veins. We talk about what it's like when the wildness of the forests and the mysteries combines with the sophistication of Paris, and just kind of what happens in that alchemical spot where those two magical attributes combine. They've combined in my guest, who again has had such an interesting life, from being a professional dancer and teacher to musician and composer, but also one who is deeply connected to the spiritual realm. Now, Inez engages in intuitive readings, vibrational sound healing, and she also says that she's part of a mission to dissolve what inhibits us from our dreams, from living boldly in this life. I think you'll find her story enchanting and whimsical. And afterwards, I was reminded that even though each of our paths is very different, if we open that door to magic, it will always walk through the door towards us. So now, episode 130 of Bite-Sized Blessings.
You know, I ended up at the ultrasound, and while we're waiting with another lady there, and we're looking at each other, "Oh, this is taking really long. Oh, sorry, but, you know, doctor such and such had an emergency at the clinic, so it's going to be another half hour that you have to wait. Are you going to wait?" And I'm like, "Yes, yes, I need to wait." And so I pick up the pile of magazines next to me, and you know, I look through it, and there is one that says Amazonian jungle, and I'm like, Peru, oh my gosh, this, oh wow, that must be interesting. And I open the magazine, and it's catastrophe in Peru, you know, two young men dead, and there is his name there.
I'm so curious, when you were a child, because we were talking earlier about what your vocation looks like now, or what you're engaging with in the world. When you were a child, did you have any clue or hint that your path was going to go this direction?
Yes, I did. And I did the best to shut it down. So, you know, it really started, I think around 4 years old, I was, you know, an only child in our home. And I wanted like a brother or sister, like so badly, or an animal, like at least an animal, like, you know, some friend. That the way that it was manifested was actually this communication with lizards and grasshoppers in my grandparents' house in Provence. I would go there every summer, and it was really pretty isolated. You know, it's a home in amongst a little vineyard that was behind it, and then olive trees everywhere, cicadas everywhere, and those lizards and grasshoppers everywhere. And I was like, okay, how do I do to become their friends? So I had this knowing that this was something very special that no one would have to know about. And I say, what is it? Said, I still remember this voice coming behind from me in the olive tree, say, it's your voice. And okay, how do I communicate? I don't know their language. Yes, you do. Okay. And so I listened to my body too, and it was, you know, like I had to grab like a lizard first, like in a certain way, and tame the lizard by petting its head in a certain area, like the third eye, I would say. And the lizard would like close its eyes, relax, and I would lessen the grip, and it would just come and walk on my arm. And I was like, wow, this is so cool. And then I started to talk to it. You know how cool it was. And I had this little fairy language going on, like, and then I started the same thing with grasshoppers. Boom, here it was. And there was this same little spot, the spirit spot right there in the middle, in the third eye. And here we go, same thing, da-da-da, put it on my arm, it's walking, it's staying, sometimes it doesn't want to go. And, okay, well, then I'm going to do a little song to release you, right? Like, this is not fun, it's kind of hurting my skin now. So, and whatever was coming out, I felt like it was a real dialogue, yes? And then I met my best friend, and it was a praying mantis. And she was magical. She was, yes, kind of an image for the sacred. You know, first of all, the praying. And the other thing was like her elegance. And then her UFO kind of like, what is this thing, extraterrestrial face that, you know, like would really hypnotize me in a way. So then she died. And that was one of the saddest day of my life, this little life that I had. And I must say that my grandmother played a huge, huge role in the connection to the sacred. She said, oh my goodness, well, we're going to find a little box. You know, there's those little box for the baptism. There is a cross. It's going to be like perfect. I still have like some bonbons. You know, they have like those almond bonbons for baptisms in France. So I could eat, you know, the last few bonbons in there and then put some cotton balls. And it was the perfect size with a cross on it. It was golden cross. And she said, you know, I can help you write a little poem for your friend. So that was like my first sense of song, you know, the first love song. But the language and the songs that were coming out were pretty incredible and kind of senseless, you know, they didn't make sense. And I was supported. My grandmother actually, I will show you sometime when we meet, Kirsten. She drew me with my lizards and my grasshoppers and with a bubble, with a little bubble saying my language, right? And it was all like colored pencil, and I still have it somewhere. So this is a proof. And this is what happened, I feel, is I have needed proof all along. Like, did this really happen? Did I make it up? And then when I was 20 years old, I don't know if you want me to continue, but there was another instance.
I'd love that.
Yeah, so I had a beloved, and it was very like spiritual connection, and I was, you know, 20, and I had met him when I was about 14. And we weren't living in the same city, but, you know, there was this very, very strong connection. And somehow he was part of this crew in Peru, a documentary, and he drowned there during the filming. And so somehow, you know, I thought, well, I haven't heard from him. What's going on? And, you know, for about a month, I'm like freaking out. And one day I wake up and I have this horrible abdominal pain. And I'm like, Mom, what's going on? And so, you know, I ended up at the ultrasound. And while we're waiting with another lady there, and we're looking at each other, well, this is taking really long. Oh, sorry, but, you know, doctor such and such had an emergency at the clinic, so it's going to be another half hour that you have to wait. Are you going to wait? And I'm like, yes, yes, I need to wait. And so I pick up the pile of magazines next to me, and, you know, I look through it, and there is one that says Amazonian jungle, and I'm like, Peru, oh my gosh, this, oh wow, that must be interesting. And I open the magazine, and it's catastrophe in Peru, you know, two young men dead, and there is his name there. And I'm entering this portal, and it says, it's me, love, it's me, love. C'est moi, mon amour, c'est moi, c'est moi, c'est moi, c'est moi. And I can still hear his voice. And I was like in this vortex. And at the time, I couldn't really comprehend. And so I just closed it. The pain was gone in my body. I said to the receptionist, can I take this? Yes, madame. Boom. So I had my second proof.
Song created and crafted by Inez. It's on her album Wisdom Songs from Nature One, and this one is titled Owl. I don't want to take too much time to thank everybody and do all the ending credits, so here we go. I need to thank Inez for trusting me and telling me all her stories, the journey of what it looks like to search for proof of the magic in the world, and to have that search answered. I need to thank her for her generosity and allowing us to use this song, Owl, If you want to find it, there will be a link on the Treasures page to her SoundCloud so you can hear more of her creations. But I also need to thank the creators of the music used in this episode: Justin Allen Arnold, Stephen O'Brien, Dudu, Tim Kulig, Frank Schroeder, Music L Files, and Otis Galloway. For complete attribution, please see the Bite Sized Blessings website at bitesizedblessings.com. On the website, you'll find links to Inez's SoundCloud, but also other items that I hope lighten and brighten your day. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like Inez. It's okay to demand proof. It's okay to say to the world, hey, I want a message. I want some sort of sign of the magic, of the mystery that's behind everything. And then once you get that proof, once you get to peer behind the curtain, then walk forward with an open and full heart, knowing that you have your own mystery and your own magic to bring to the world.